Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chaf in Erech, and we started the new parak yesterday. Well, we got through the Mishnah. We are starting now the Gemara that is the first sugya of the fifth parak of Erechin. Haomer Mishkal Alai, the Mishnah deals with the following scenario. You say, look, I'd like to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, a person's very proud of how much he weighs and says, look, in honor of my weight, I'd like to donate that to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, good. So now you're obligated, and you're obligated to give your weight. Your weight in what? Your weight in gold and silver. So as the Gemara is about to explain, it really depends. We'll talk about that in just a moment. How do you assess the weight of your hand? Meaning you say, not Mishkal Yalai, but Mishkal Yadi Alai. What if you say, I would like to give the weight of my arm to the Beis HaMikdash? So we talked yesterday about the process of sticking your arm in water, displacing the water, finding out the volume of your arm, and then taking the limb of an animal that is similar, that of a chamor, and putting it... That's what the Gemara assumes. I know it sounds a little strange. And finding out and trying to match up the volume of the limb of the donkey to the limb of your arm. And do it that way. Now, you remember the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that... Okay, not Rav Yehuda, sorry. Rav Yossi said back in the Mishnah, that's not going to give you an exact measurement, as long as you're not doing an exact measurement anyway. So you know what? Just make a good guess. Right, eyeball it. Excellent. The Gemara starts off. We are in the Gemara on Yitzhak Samad Aleph. Mayim kesef kesefim zahav zahav. The Mishnah says, well, if it's silver, silver, and if it's gold, gold. Well, what does that mean? So the Gemara gives a simple pshat. I'm Rav Yehuda. Pirish kesef kesef. Pirish zahav zahav. Well, it depends what you said. Meaning, if you said, I'd like to give my weight in gold to the Beis HaMikdash, you're on the hook for gold. If I say, I want to give my weight in silver to the Beis HaMikdash, you give your weight in silver. Pshita. The Gemara says, okay, it sounds simple what I'm saying, right? And that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. It sounds very simple. Hakamash lan time to pirish. Alo pirish patanav shebechol duhu. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you exactly what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is exactly that. Meaning only when you specify are you then on the hook. What if you don't specify? What if you just simply make a very vague statement, I'd like to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. So then you can give Bechol Duhu whatever you would like. Ki Rechava Dama Rechava Basha Detakli Kufra Patanav Shefila Bekufra. You want to give pitch or tar? Go ahead. As long as in the place where you live, they sell pitch by the pound. So then go ahead, because then it could be interpreted to mean that you're going to give your weight in pitch. And pitch apparently was not a very expensive item. Now, just a couple of days ago, we had the rule of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that when a person gives something to the Beis HaMikdash, he always gives ba'an yafeh. He gives it with a good eye. And it's a little bit strange. In other words, I'm raising the issue. The Gemara is not going to raise the issue. I didn't really see this issue being discussed much. But it's a little bit strange because essentially what the Gemara now is saying, right, it's back on Yudal Amad Aleph. The Gemara is now saying is, well, if you made an ambiguous statement and you can interpret it loosely or lightly, so do so. So I'm not really sure how to...
I think when you specify a certain item, then you do an item.
Well, the Gemara...
Anything over there was...
Well, there the Gemara was talking about a case where he was makdish his property, and what we're going to say is, right. Well, he was makdish his property separate from being makdish his... trees that are on the property. So in other words...
Okay, perhaps.
The Gemara says, okay, lo tzricha d'ika, d'taka v'ika d'kana. The Gemara says, and we can make it even a bigger chiddush. Meaning, in the place where he lives, sometimes pitch is sold by the pound, sometimes it's sold by volume. So the chiddush is, even though not everybody sells pitch by the pound, but still, as long as some people do, so therefore it is fair to him to say, well, I said I'm going to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash, and some people sell pitch by the pound, so therefore I'm going to give pitch. So what if onions are sold by the pound? Okay, so now you're going to give your weight to the Beis HaMikdash in onions. Okay? So Pshita, the Gemara says, again, it's a fair interpretation of his neder. So lo tzricha de basa de shakli shah de trey talsa. Ma'u de tema batel toras mishkal kamash malan. Well, the Gemara says, again, that seems to be pretty obvious. The Gemara says, well, maybe the following chiddush. Maybe the place where he was, where he lives, what they did is they sold onions by the pound. After you weighed a pound or 2 pounds of onion, so then what the seller did is he threw a couple more on top of that. Okay? Baker's dozen. Right? Right? We all know the minhag of the bakers. You buy a dozen bagels and you get the 13th one for free.
So it would be not weight, it would be number then, right?
Huh?
It wouldn't be considered weight, it would be considered number.
Right. So you might have thought now that that's no longer considered a weight. That's considered something other than a weight. So that's Kamash Malan. That's the Chiddush over there. Okay. Maisa be'ima shel Yarmatya. And then the Mishnah told the story about the mother of Yarmatya. The mother of Yarmatya, she said, I'd like to give the weight of my daughter to the Beis HaMikdash. She goes up to Yerushalayim. They do a weighing of her daughter. I know that wouldn't go over so well, but apparently did. They did a weighing of the daughter. And she gave the weight of her daughter in gold. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. We just got done saying that if you don't specify, you can give whatever you want, even onions. So Maisa ba'emashon yamasha, Maisa listor. The story seems to object to what we just learned, which is if you don't specify, you can give whatever you want. Chesur mechzor v'achi katani. So the Gemara says, we're missing some of the Mishnah. And what we're going to have to do is insert part into the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Anasi, when he wrote the Mishnah, he didn't write it comprehensively. He wrote it as basically little notes. And so the Torah Shabbat Peh, part of the oral tradition is that when you read a Mishnah, you learn a Mishnah, sometimes you have to read between the lines, and sometimes you have to insert between the lines. So the Gemara says you have to do that. And the way now what we're going to do is, im adam chashav hu, alfa gav dlo pirsh lefi kvodo am dinan. We have the word Amrinan in the Gemara, probably should be changed to Amdinan. If the person's an Adam Chashav, meaning that this person over here is not a lightweight, I'm not talking about his actual weight, but the person himself is a man of stature, and he says, I'd like to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash, contextually we now understand that this person not only is on the hook to give to the Beis HaMikdash, and not only his weight to the Beis HaMikdash, but his weight in gold, he's an Adam Chashav, meaning you have to look at things in context. Now we go to the Mishnah. Now you read the Mishnah. Now you can, that point will flow beautifully into the point that we're learning right now. And that's the Mishnah story where apparently this was a very prestigious family. And so therefore, when she declared that she's going to give the weight of her daughter, she meant in gold. I'm Rav Yehuda. Adam Chashav.
But no one. She can't give anything she wants.
That's for me. Meaning that's for just a regular guy. But when you're an Adam Chashav and...
But the answer was, it didn't have to be that. She gave whatever she wanted.
No, but the Mishnah, The Mishnah says she gave in gold.
Right. She volunteered. She wasn't told to give gold.
I understand. In other words, she could have just simply said, the simple... Yeah, but there's got to be a reason why the Mishnah tells us the story. Meaning if you're right,
okay,
so then the Mishnah is just telling a story. Right, the Gemara is assuming that there's a reason. There's got to be a halachic point being made in the story. I'm Rav Yehuda Ha'omer Kamasi Alai. Okay, let's say the following. I'd like to give my height to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'm slightly height challenged, so for me it's not a big deal. I'd like to give my height to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So, but what does that mean? Meaning weight? We understand weight is an easy quantifiable number. When you say your height, what are you giving that represents your height? So Amr Yura Homer Kamasi Alai, no saying Sharvit She'inu Nichpaf. So you have to give a rod, but it has to be a rod that doesn't bend. A rod that actually reflects your height, but the rod's gotta be a strong rod, it cannot bend. Now, Malo Kamasi.
What material?
Whatever material it is, strong enough that it doesn't bend. Okay. Malo Kamasi, if I say I'd like to give the fullness of my height. Meaning right now, I don't need the object to stand on its own. It just needs to be as long as I am, as tall as I am. So, no, Sin Sharvit HaNichfaf. So there you can give a rod, and it could be thin that it bends, because you don't need it to stand on its own. You just simply need it to reflect how tall you are. Makes it the Gemara challenges, Kamasi, Alai, Malay Kamasi, Alai, no Sin Sharvit She'enu Nichfaf. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says, Whether you say the word kamasi or whether you say malo kamasi, you still got to give a rod that doesn't bend. So the Gemara says, "Hu damak Rabbi Akiva, the dayak lishna yisera." So the Gemara says, "That brisa, oh, don't worry about that brisa. That brisa goes like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva looks at carefully at extra language. Okay, a little bit of contract law for this morning. We've seen this already back in Baba Basra. Did not, right? We learned in the following Mishnah: you sell a piece of property. Okay, so you sell a house. Okay, so what's being sold? The house, the land that sits on that sits underneath the house, the airspace above the house. But in other words, from a geographic standpoint, from a real estate standpoint, it's just a house. Lois abor v'lois adus. If there is a pit or a cistern right next to the house, that's not being sold, right? Af al pi shekasav omka v'roma. And you even write in the contract that not only am I buying the house, but I'm buying the height of the house. I'm writing the depth of the house. So nevertheless, all you're getting is just the house, and you're not getting the pit, you're not getting the cistern that is adjacent to the house. V'tzarech likach lo derech divrei Rabbi Akiva. And not only that, but, in other words, access to the pit and access to the cistern. So, you have to, when you sell, you're going to have to buy for yourself a means of access to the pit or to the cistern. The Chachamim omrim eino tzarech, and the Chachamim say, no, it's not necessary. Meaning that if seller retained a pit or a cistern for himself, part of that retention is also an understanding that if it's mine, I'm also entitled to access to it as well. So therefore, you don't have to pay for access. You can assume, seller can assume, that as long as he retains the pit and the cistern, he's also retaining access as well. Okay? Umo de Rabbi Akiva, bizman shamar lo, chutz mi elu. However, what if in the contract it was stated that I'm selling you the house except for the pit and for the cistern? Now, pit and cistern usually doesn't come along for the sale anyway. And he actually writes that in the contract. Okay? So, she'in tzarech likach lo derech. Once he writes, I'm selling you the house, but not the pit and the cistern, and he actually writes that in the contract, so now he's allowed access to the pit and cistern, and he doesn't have to pay special extra for that access. Alma, what do you see according to Rabbi Akiva? Kema de lo tzarech v'kamar litefuye milsakasi. When there are words that don't need to be written in the contract, and they're written in the contract, they're there to teach us something new, something novel. Meaning we already knew even before he wrote in the contract, not the pit, not the cistern, we know that they're excluded from the sale of the house. We already know that they're not part of the general sale of a house. The fact that he said, oh, and not the pit, not the cistern, and the fact that he wrote that in the contract means that there's got to be some other point being made, which is, I'm allowed free access to it. So, hachinami kem de lo tzarech v'kamar l'tfuyim il-sakase. So here too also, meaning once you say something that you didn't need to say, so therefore we're going to extract. So the person said in the braisa, komasi alai, malo komasi alai, right? It's extra language, and so therefore it's coming to tell us that the rod that represents his height has to be an unbendable rod. Ibailahu. The Gemara is now going to ask a whole series of questions. Omdi mahu. Instead of saying komasi mahai, he says omdi my standing or my stature. Okay? Rochavo mahu. What if instead of giving his height, he wants to give his width to the Beis HaMikdash? Now, what is meant by that? That's exactly the Gemara's question. What the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to know, what exactly does he mean by that? Rashi, the top Rashi of Yotzei Tzemud Beis, mi havei mashma sharvit rochav dugmasi, o havei mashma sharvit aruch kemidas rachvi. Does it mean that the pole that he's now going to give to the Beis HaMikdash has to be both his height and his width? Or just simply means that he only wants to give the length of his width? Yeshiva somahu. What if I say, I'd like to give my height as I'm sitting? What exactly does that mean? Ovyav mahu. What if the person says, I'd like to give my thickness to the Beis HaMikdash. Hekefo mahu. What if he says, I'd like to give my circumference? Meaning, is it just the measurement of a circumference? Or again, same basic story. Meaning, a pole that reflects his circumference. So the Gemara says, teku. The Gemara says, in all these questions, we're not really sure what exactly he's meant, and so therefore, teku. Tishbi Yitaritz. Mishkal Yadi Alai. No, he would certainly have to give.
Something.
It's just a question of what that something actually is going to be. The Gemara leaves it off as a teku, so. Right, so do we go l'chum or do we go l'kula? Meaning we're going to have to interpret his statement.
Right.
We interpret it l'kula l'chum. I mean, based on what we saw earlier today, the answer would be, seemingly, as long as it's a fair interpretation of his statement.
It depends on his
status. Oh, like we said in the previous summer. Okay.
The material of the rod is not...
Because his only concern is that it has to reflect my height. That's all. So as long as it could stand by itself and it truly reflects its height, that's all. Right. Mishkal Yadi Alai Tana Rabbanan. We're going to now learn a Tosefta, and basically the same point that we made back in the Mishnah. The Tosefta is a little more thorough in its discussion, but it's basically the same point that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Mishkal Yadi, Mishkal Ragli, Alai, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mevi, Chavit, Memale, Mayim, Amachnins, Biyad, Ad, Ha'atzil. You put your arm in up until the Atzil. Remember yesterday we talked about the Atzil. Rashi says it goes all the way up to your armpit. Uveregel, Ad, Ha'akuva. Now when it comes to your leg, you put it up to your akuva, your knee. Vishokel, Basa, Chamor, Gidim, Atzamos, Venos, and Lasoch. And then you weigh Basa, Chamor, Vigidim. And then you put it into the water to check its volume. The point I made yesterday about first weighing and then putting it in, so Tosfos makes the point that I made yesterday, which is that specifically in that order, because if you put it into the water, if you put the limb of the donkey into the water, it's going to be saturated with water and it won't be a true reflection of the weight of your arm, because your arm is, I mean, it's true there's water content in the arm, but you understand. It's not saturated with external water. And then you keep putting the limb of the donkey in there until it fills to the volume of whatever the volume of your arm was. The Alpha Pishen Rila Davazekla Davashanema Sher Bisar Chamorim Bisar Ram Pasuk in Yecheskel actually says, you know, their limbs are like the limbs of a donkey. Now, it's a remez, it's not a real makor, it's not a real source, as the Navi was giving rebuke and tochacha. But still though, at least the fact that, you know, the words he called him, you know, you're like donkey flesh. In other words, it's somewhat shaykh to call a human a donkey. In other words, they are similar. And Rav Yossi here in the Tosefta makes the same point that we saw yesterday in the Braisa, which is, look, it's not a perfect match. You know it's not a perfect match. So, Amale Rav Yehuda Omdim. So Rav Yehuda says, okay, do an approximation, right? Like Phil said, eyeball it. Amalei Rav Yossi, Acha Omdim Yamodo Esayad. So Rav Yossi says, look, if you're going to do an eyeball anyway, so don't go through the whole process, meaning just look at his arm and say, it's, you know, about. So Rav Yehuda Kamad Efshar Avdinan Biyad, I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda Kamad Efshar Avdinan. So, and what Rav Yehuda's response is, look, I understand you're not going to get a perfect match, but at least you're trying. Meaning, sometimes the Torah's demand is, try your best. So here, try your best. You're right. I understand that the limb of the donkey is not going to perfectly reflect your limb, but at least you're trying your best to come up with some number that represents the weight of your arm. And so I know it's not perfect, but at least it's a good try. Biyad ad ha'atzil. Okay? When the person says, I'd like to give the weight of my yad, so now we're going to start at his fingertips and we're going all the way up. Now, according to Rashi, we're going all the way up to his shoulder. Meaning yad, in the Torah, sounds like it's from the fingers all the way to the shoulder. So the Gemara is now going to point out, but that's not true, that's not correct. The Uriminu. Sorry, I lost my spot. I'm back. Uriminu, Kiddushia Damra, Glamba, Mikdash Adaperek. So the Gemara says that, you know, when you're a Kohen and you have to do the Avoda, So one of the requirements before you do the avoda for a kohen is you have to wash your hands, you have to wash your feet. And it's only ad haperek, it's only up to the wrist. And the Torah says that you have to wash your hands. And the hand is only up to the wrist. And that's it. So we're now slightly confused, meaning when we say yad, what do we mean? So from our Mishnah, it sounds like it goes all the way up to your shoulder. From the requirement of the kohen, it only sounds like it's from your fingers up to your wrist.
There's no
what the arm in Hebrew? Oh, so wait. So ad haperek, da'araisa ad haperek, b'netarim halacha chalosha b'nei adam. So the Gemara's first attempt of an answer is, well, we'll say it like this. Look, min ha-Torah, what's the yad? Your wrist. Meaning what the kohanim need to wash, which is, we do the same thing before when we wake up in the morning before bread, ad haperek, up to the wrist. Okay. But when it comes to nedarim, which is what we're discussing right now in Erechin, you follow what is lingua franca, what is normally understood. And when we say yad, we normally understand yad to mean the entire arm. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Uda raisa ad haperek v'haga bitvilim dechtziv yadcha v'tanda be'manashe yadcha zeki bores. So the Gemara says, now you know that the Torah says to put tefillin on your arm. Now how does the tefillin describe it? Tutafos al yadcha. Put it on your arm.
Just put it right here.
Right. So yeah, you're going to put it on your wrist. And we know the halacha is yadcha zuki bores. We have a tradition that the yadcha is the kibores. The kibores is the bicep. There's a discussion, Mishnah Berurah points out, or his lights, now is a good time to mention, Mishnah Berurah points out, when we say bicep, we mean lower bicep, right? The part of the bicep that's closer to the elbow, not the upper bicep. Our friend over here quotes the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says it's not, he disagrees, he says,
we put it high.
Right, he says anywhere on the upper arm. It doesn't have to be in the lower section of the bicep. Okay, so, but anyway, right, just in terms of the Gemara, you see clearly that when the Torah says the word Yad, it actually means the entire arm. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's change our tune. Da'araisa kibros kula. So when we talk about what a Yad is mina Torah, it's the whole arm. It is the entire arm. B'nedarim halach acha l'asham b'nei adam. Now when it comes to nedarim, again, there's no... I say I'm going to give my yad to the Beis HaMikdash, you follow what is understood linguistically as what is yad. So that's our Mishnah. And Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Mikdash Hilchos HaGemira Law. And as far as the Kohen's responsibility to wash his hands, and we say only out of parak, only up into the wrist, that's Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai. Okay? So now basically we learned, it's interesting by the way, there doesn't seem to be a word for an arm. Although, I'll tell you, we have the word Zroa. Right, Zroa Netuya. Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to do with that. Okay, good question. But basically now, here's what we have. When it comes to Yad, the Yad in the Torah is really the whole arm, up until the shoulder. And when it comes to Neder, so we really, whatever the Torah defines the Yad is, it doesn't matter. By Nedarim, we always are Holech Acher Loshem Bnei Adam. We follow what is usual conversation and usual understanding between one man and his fellow. And in the world of the Kohen washing his hands, that's different. Halach
l'moshe mitzinai. If he wanted to give only up to the ear,
how would he say that? Yeah, so he would say, ad haperek. Okay. Or minu raglayim prat lebalei kavan. Okay. Sorry, I skipped a line. Beregel ad harkuvo. Okay, now if you say, I'd like to give the weight of my leg to the Beis HaMikdash, he says the word regal, so up to the knee. Ad har kuva. Now by humans it's easy because we only have one knee. Right? Remember back in Chulin, it was always confusing because the animal had two knees. Okay. So okay, but fine. But for us it's a little bit easier. Very minute the Gemara says, but I'll challenge. Raglayim prat lebale kavan. Okay, we have a mitzvah in the Torah that three times a year we walk up to Yerushalayim. It's what's called Aliyah L'Regel. And what if you don't have a regel? So you don't have a mitzvah. Meaning the mitzvah is literally, even though of course you can be transported to the Beis HaMikdash, but you have a legitimate legal patur from having to go up to Yerushalayim if in fact you don't have a foot. So if you're a Balei Kav means that you're an amputee and you have a peg leg. Right, like the old pirate's peg leg. So if you have a peg leg, so therefore you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So now, what bothers the Gemara is the following. When we described the regel, we said the regel goes all the way up to the knee. But meanwhile, for our peg-legged individual, sounds like even if you're just missing a foot, and then you put basically some sort of prosthetic, you know, they had prosthetics back then as well, right? Somewhat, you know, not as sophisticated as ours, but still. But even if you have just a small prosthetic, foot, right, just up to the ankle, that already is enough to say that you no longer have a regel. Okay? So the Gemara's answer is what we try to do by Yad as well. B'nedarim halacha achar lashem b'nei adam and udaraisa prat labale kabim. So the Gemara says, look, same story. By neder, you follow what is normal parlance, normal communication. I say regel, so you and I understand basically from toe to knee. Okay, that's lashem b'nei adam. And so in the world of nedarim, that's going to be our marker, our guideline. In the world of daraisa, we're now going to say daraisa is basically the foot. Regel is just the foot up to the ankle. The Gemara says, yeah, but by chalitza, I know that's not true because raglo, meaning we know by chalitza, in order to successfully perform chalitza, she has to take a shoe off of his foot. Part of the chalitza process. Okay? And I mentioned this a number of times, and not spit into the shoe. Right? Somewhat of a misconception. I don't know where that... I know, she just spits at him. Okay, fine. So the... Vitana, we learned in the Braisa, Chaltzam and Arkuva Lamata, Chalitza Sakshera. Now, let's say her brother-in-law doesn't have a foot. Doesn't have a foot, doesn't even have a calf. Meaning, he's got a stump, but it is at least below the knee. And he puts something, some shoe on that stump. As long as there's a stump that goes below the knee, so the Mishnah tells us, that's fine. Now, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Because you identify the regal as being just simply the foot. Meaning as long as you're missing anything above the foot, meaning the ankle and above, that's already now considered beli regal. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, and we would take that and we'll move it over to Chalitza, that would mean that her brother-in-law now, who doesn't have a foot and doesn't even have a calf, is now going to be regal-less, meaning without regal. And so that would mean that she would not be able to successfully perform the mitzvah of Chalitza. Now, I don't know what that means, meaning at that point in time, if you can't do Chalitza, it kind of means she's stuck. It means that he'll have to do Yibum. Okay, I understand it presents an issue, but right now we're just focusing on what is regal. And from the Mishnah and Yevamos, it sounds like regal is even if he doesn't have a foot, even if he doesn't have a calf, as long as he has a stump that goes just below the knee. Shani Hasam Damakra me al raglo. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Our definition of regal will not change. I mean, regal is foot. Why by chalitza can she do chalitza to her brother-in-law, even if he doesn't have a calf? Because the Torah says, me al raglo. As long as it's above the regal. I hachi lamala me'akuvaname. So the Gemara says, so once we know that's me'al raglo, so why not say that even if he doesn't have a knee? Meaning if his stump is only to his upper thigh, but that should still work as well, me'al raglo. So the Gemara's answer is me'al velo me'al de me'al. Because it's only one joint up, one step up from the foot. So in other words, yeah, by chalitza, we're going to raise the bar, so to say, right? Raise our definition of what a leg is. Regal is the foot. The Torah says me'al raglo. So that means even if he's missing a ankle, even if he's missing a calf, as long as he has a stump that goes below the knee. But that's only me'al, not me'al de me'al. I'm Rav Papa Shmaminah. Now, Rav Papa from here would like to make a biological observation, which is hai istavira ad aranachas. Your ankle goes all the way down to the ground. How do I know that? Isak adacha mifsek pasik havale istavira me'al vishaka me'al de me'al. Meaning because we've just identified that for chalitza, it could be even me'al.
One
one above. So the Gemara says, well, that ankle, so to say, that shin has to go all the way down to the ground, because otherwise, if it didn't, then our me'al will only take us right above the foot to your ankle. But we were saying that even if you're missing the ankle, even if you're missing shin, as long as you have a stump going down just below the knee, that would be enough. So, but it's got to be that the shin goes all the way down to the ground, so that the me'al is even above the shin, even above the, I'm sorry, even above the ankle, even including the shin.
Now, the thing is, if this is only on the right foot, right? The guy's got a left foot, that doesn't...
Right, it's the right foot. So Rav Ashi Amar Filo Teima Mifsit Pasik, called the Bahad, Dekari Kekari Dami. So Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to make any biological observation. Meaning, that's not necessary. Because over here, we're speaking now in legalities, in legal terms. Meaning, in anything, you could even say that there's a foot, and then there's an ankle above it. And that ankle above it is still considered part of the foot. Meaning, they may be, in terms of bones and joints and ligaments, they may be separate. But in terms of halacha, because you're resting on top of it, it's considered legally the same. And so in the world of chalitza, when the Torah says me'al, we can go even one above it as well. And even if the person's missing an ankle, even if he's missing a shin, as long as he has a stump that goes just below the knee, that would be sufficient. Okay. D'meya di alai shamano so kamen hu shava biyad uvalo yad zechomer menedarim mi be'erchen. Okay. We talked about mishkal yadi. Now we talk about d'mei yadi. I'd like to give the value of my hand. Now, what's the value of my hand? Priceless. No, that's not true. Everything has a price. Meaning, I know it doesn't sound nice, but we all have a market value. Okay, and it's important to know, because in any type of bodily damage, and you want to assess how much the bodily damage is going to be, so you got to determine what is market value. Okay, there are other payments as well. Whenever you do bodily damage, an eighth parak of Baba Kama. But right now, just for our purposes, everything has a market value, including your hand. So you want to figure out what the market value of your hand is? Okay, so fine. Let's assess how much you're worth right now. And then, let's imagine, you didn't have your arm. Now how much you would be, and the difference would be the value of your hand.
Does it matter whether it's dominant or non-dominant hand? You guys right hand.
I would imagine from a market standpoint, it would
right-handed, it's going to be more valuable.
I would assume. Whatever the market says, the market will determine.
And if you make
the truth, it's not. Correct. It's certainly correct. And the Mishnah points out, Zechomer ben Adar mi be'erchin. You know, none of this would be true by an erech. Meaning, if I say, I'd like to give the erech of, and he points to anybody, including himself, he gives nothing. Because erech is not a damim. Erech is not a value. Erech is basically how much you're worth. Now, there, when we say you, we have no idea. So the Torah gives us a schedule. Depends on age and depends on gender. But there's no such thing as an erech of a hand. Erech of a hand, that doesn't exist. Erech is only you. Only of the person himself. As we'll learn later on this morning, if I point to a part of you that is essential for your life, so then the erech is going to stick. But just the erech of a hand, a person can exist without a hand. Wouldn't want to.
How would it make a difference between damim and erech if the person says that the hand, because damim is the same thing?
No, but damim actually means value. Meaning, when a person says damim, he means I want to give the value of the hand. Erech is much more than that. Erech is I want to give the value of you. Our mission over here is damim. Now, hechi shaimina lei. So, now, the Gemara wants to know, brass taxes, how do we do it? How do we actually evaluate? So, I'm a Rav, om demoso, om eshal nezakin. So, Rav says, what do you mean? Same thing by nezak. Meaning, right? We had no problem in the eighth parak of Baba Kama establishing what the value is in the case of nezak, here also. So, I'm a lei, abaye mi damim. So, abaye says, oh, wait, not so fast. Meaning, it's not super comparable. Hasam gavra zilahu, hacha gavra shviachu. Because look, in the world of nezek, what happened? Okay, an accident, terrible accident, and I, by accident, chopped off your hand. Okay. There now, we already have you handless. And so now we want to establish how much damage did I do? Well, let's take your value right now. Let's go backwards and say how much you were worth beforehand. We'll take the difference, and that's the value of your hand. Here, however, you have your hands. And here we're guesstimating how much you'd be worth had you been missing that hand. And Abaye says it's not the same. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand. How is that not the same? Meaning Rashi over here, you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says it's not equal. To not have a hand and to work backwards to when you did versus now when you have a hand and to try to forecast how much you'd be worth if you didn't. Now Rashi says they're not equal, and that's exactly Abaye's point. If you look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos says, I'm not quite following Rashi. What difference does it make whether we're working backwards or whether we're working forwards? See Tosfos and Stai Tosfos gives a different shot. But in the meantime, however, for now, we're just sticking with Rashi. Amar Abaye omden kama adam rotzalitein be'eved ha'ose malacha biyado achas la'ose b'shtei yadav. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. Well, in other words, I'll tell you how much a hand is worth. Okay? Go to the slave market and say, find out. I'd like to buy a two-armed Eved versus I'd like to buy a one-armed Eved. Now, at this stage of the Gemara now thinks that, well, what do you mean a one-armed Eved? Meaning he actually has one hand? Yadu echaz my nido, v'idach psika. So the Gemara says, then Abaye, what did you add to this whole discussion? Meaning, isn't that exactly what Rav is saying? Meaning, figure out how much you're worth with one arm versus how much you're worth with two arms. Abaye, you didn't add anything to the whole discussion. Elo yado machteves l'rabo rishon. So Abaye says, no, here's what I want you to do. No. In other words, we're trying to figure out what the value of an arm is. And you have it right now. Meaning, it's not cut off. So Abaye says, here's what I would like you to do. Go to the market or go to somebody who owns a slave and says, look, I'd like to buy the entire slave, including both of his hands. Versus, I'd like to buy the whole slave, but you get to keep, not physically, not like we're going to cut off one of the arms, but you get the rights to one of the arms. So that means that when he works for me, he can only use one of his arms. And Abaye thinks this is a better way of assessing the value of arms, and the reason being is because here, you see what he gained by doing this? In the case, we're not dealing with any amputation. In other words, I now get to find out what is the actual value of an arm while it's still connected to the body. Because I'll find it out by saying to that person, how much would I like to buy that person, but I only get rights to one of his arms. So whatever the difference is now between buying two arms versus buying one arm is now the value of an arm. Okay. Bai Rava, I'm doing homage on the Zakin, Va'amar Deme Alai Mahu. Okay, the Gemara now is going to basically just machine gun a whole bunch of questions. Question number one. Now, before we start with question number one, just one piece of information you need to know. Okay. Right, Nezik, if I do bodily damage to somebody else, God forbid, so obviously it's an assessment. And who's doing the assessment? Beis Din. How much is Beis Din made up of? Three people. Oh, for Nezik. Okay, in other words, it's bodily damage, it's mamonos, so it's monetary loss, so it's three people, meaning it's a Beis Din. Beis Din of three. Good. In the world of Hekdeshos, when I'm Makdish and something goes to the Beis HaMikdash, so also assessment, but assessment is done by a panel of 10. And of those 10, 9 of them are Kohanim. Did I say it wrong? You're correct. Okay, first page of Sanhedrin. Tisha v'Kohen. Panel of 10, 9 of them are non-Kohanim, 1 of them is a Kohen. See the Gemara in Sanhedrin for an explanation as to why. It's... By the way, it's not going to give you much of an explanation. It's going to give you drushas, but okay. See there for the drusha, right? If I remember correctly, it was like Kohen 10 times, and then it was Miyot, Achar Miyot, Achar Miyot. No, okay, let's keep it simple for now. Okay, panel of 10. So now let's say this is question number one. Okay, and we're going to just rattle off a whole bunch of questions. Question number one: I'm doing Omichon Lizakin. Let's say you went through an appraisal for Nezek, which means that you only went in front of a panel of three, and then Amar Demei Alai, and then you said, look, I'd like to give the value of my hand to the base of Mikdash. So now, Mi Amar Ham Duach HaRezimno Odom HaShani Umdana Debei Asar Umdana Debei Tlaso. So question number one is, you basically already know the value of the hand. It was already been assessed by three, but now you would like to give that value to the base of Mikdash. So you already have an appraisal, right? I know in mortgages, right, they do this all the time. I have an appraisal. Do I need to do another appraisal? So over here, though, the question is bolstered by the fact that that second appraisal for the base of Mikdash requires a panel of 10. So does that make a big difference? That's question number one. So the Gemara says, let's assume it does make a big difference. Okay? And you're going to need a new appraisal. Let's say you already gave the value of your hand to the base of Mikdash with an appraisal, and then a week later, you say, again, Demayalai. Right? So do you need now a new appraisal considering the fact that you already got an appraisal by a panel of 10? Look, maybe you've been working out. Maybe your arm now, a week later, 2 weeks later, is worth more or less. I didn't want to say that. Okay. Amar demei alai v'lo amdua v'chazav amar demei alai. Okay, question number three. What if I say demei alai, followed with another demei alai? So now I have two obligations to the base of Mikdash, and now can I do one appraisal for both obligations? Do I need a separate appraisal for each obligation? And finally, no, not yet. There are going to be a couple more. Let's say you're going to need an appraisal for each obligation. Let's say I say I want to give my value of my arm to the base of Mikdash times two. Okay? I make both obligations simultaneously. Mahu. Maybe this is also analogous to Zeh Acher Zeh. So the Gemara says, let's assume it's Zeh Acher Zeh. Amduo me a love mahu. So let's say, just randomly, Amduo me a love, meaning you got an appraisal. Not in response to a pledge that you made, but you got an appraisal. All right, if you will, this is just a little creativity on my part. You know when you go to the county fair, you know they have the guess your weight and the guess your age. So I'm just being creative right now. So in other words, at the fair also, here we have a panel of 10. let's appraise the value of your arm. So now, okay, so you got an appraisal. Buy a panel of 10. Okay. So, and now you say, you know, as long as I got the appraisal in, you know what? I'm in a giving mood. I'd like to give the value of my arm. Mi amrinan ha'amin me'elav v'kayo dilma b'inan kavana l'umdana. So the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe that won't work. Because maybe when you have an appraisal, it has to be with kavana. In other words, l'shem yichud kutcha brichu, right? But, I mean, I joke, but I don't. In other words, exactly that. Meaning it has to be in response to your neder. So the Gemara says, okay, so at least that was a whole lot of questions that were being asked. Right? None of the questions were really answered, although you see the format of the Gemara. The Gemara assumes an answer to go to the next question. Okay. The Gemara says, well, we have a Mishnah. Demei alai umeis lo yitnu yorshin shein damel umeisim. We're about to learn a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that let's say the person makes a pledge of Demei Alai, and then he dies. Okay? Before assessment. So are his heirs obligated? And the answer is going to be no. Why? Because we can't assess him. He's dead.
He's not worth anything.
And he's not worth anything. Vikai. So the Gemara says, you know, I know he wasn't assessed, but can we argue that he was assessed? How are we going to argue that? Mi ika gavra de lo shavya arbe zuze. minimum value of a person is 4 zuz.
What about the fact that you actually knew his age and his gender?
No, but that's not that's erech. This is damim. This is damim. So the Gemara says 200 is how much generally a person would make in 1 year.
200 zuz you would make in 1 year, so one person is only worth 4.
Minimum. You're worth more. Duamei alav nachis l'umdema demei alai lo nachis l'umdema. So the Gemara says, yeah, but don't you see the difference? In other words, if he got an appraisal, that's one discussion. Here, he didn't even get an appraisal, so it's apples and oranges. You really can't even bring that mishnah to make any point regarding our discussion of where he already got an appraisal. It just happens to be that the appraisal was not in response to a neder. Okay. Okay. Well, we could say it. Meaning unresolved. Now, in certain respects, an erech is more stringent than a neder. Because if you say erki alai, and the person then dies, but he's obligated. Meaning erech, just saying the words erki alai, creates an instant obligation. Because we know exactly how much he owes, and there's no assessment that needs to be made. Okay, so he's obligated. And Rahman al-Son, the person then dies, having not paid his obligation, we then go to the next generation, we say, look, dad was obligated to the Beis HaMikdash, you're obligated to the Beis HaMikdash. Demei alai umeis, if he says the value, and then I'd like to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, and then that person dies, lo yitnu ha-yorshin shein damim la-mesim. Now the yorshin cannot give because here he's not obligated until assessment. And we can't assess because he's dead. Now, erech yadiv, erech ragli alai lo amar klum. If the person says, I'd like to give the erech of my hand or the erech of my foot, that's nothing. Why? Because, as we pointed out, there's no such thing. Erech roshiv, erech veidi. But if I say I want to give the erech of my head or the erech of my liver, can't live without a liver, so no saying erech kulo. That's it. Now you're on the hook. Why is that? Because once it's a limb that is vital and you need it to live, so therefore, that's an erech. Chatzi erki alai. What if I say I'd like to give half of my erech? You're on the hook. No sin chatzi erko. Erech chatzi alai. I like to give erech of half of my body. Now, whatever half of your body it is, doesn't matter. You need it. So no sin erech kulo. So now you're on the hook for a full erech. Chatzi demei alai. No sin chatzi damav. If I say I'd like to give half of my value, now you're on the hook for half your value. Demei chatzi alai, I'd like to give the value of half my body. Yeah, but again, same story. What is half your body? You can't live without half your body. So therefore, it turns into the value of your whole body. No sin demei kulo, zaklal, davashin hashem atluya bo, no sin demei kulo. If I give the value of something which is vital for my existence, so now I'm on the hook for the entire value of my whole body. Ha'omer, erikosha plani alai. If I dedicate the erich of somebody else, meis hanoder v'hanidar yitnu hayorshim. Here, if everybody dies, meaning the pledger and the object of the pledger, in this case, the person that is being nerach, if everyone dies, but still, the obligation has begun, and so therefore he's on the hook. Damav shel ploni alai, but if I say I'd like to give the value of so-and-so, meaning not my value, but somebody else's value, umeis hanoder, now if the pledger dies, yitnu hayorshim, the yorshim have to give, because the person who we're evaluating is still alive. Meis hanidar, lo yitnu hayorshim, shein dam lameisim. But if the person that's being pledged against is not alive anymore, so then there's nothing to assess. Okay. All right. Tomorrow we'll pick it up straight from the Gemara. The Gemara is going to, right? Brisa says they're going to, right? More discussion about the Mishnah. Okay. Good. Finished up the discussion about assessing what is weight, discussing the value of your arm, value of your leg. What is the arm? What is the leg? And we'll continue tomorrow. Elchanan